The Alpha Sessions.
Hello, welcome to The Alpha Sessions. We have George Bone. Oh, how are you doing?
Yeah, not so bad, not so bad. It's been, at least when we're recording this, it's been a lovely week so far.
Okay.
And yeah, super excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Good. I'm excited to have you here. So your first song that you are about to perform is Valencia.
Yes, you're right.
If I'm right, this was inspired by a trip to Spain.
Yeah, so like, I mean, it makes sense, it's in the title, but like it's my first solo single that I had out as an artist. Mm-hmm. And in September of 2023, my mate who was studying out in the Berklee College at Valencia was like, hey, do you want to come over for the weekend? You can stay my uni accommodation that was there, plus gorgeous weather. So I said, why not, ultimately? And at that point in time, I just sort of like split up from a partner of about 3 years and a week. The week is the most important bit.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah. Don't think too hard into that. But yeah, so like we went to the Mediterranean coast there, and it was absolutely pretty. It was so gorgeous. And he had a flat on the top complex of this apartment complex. And there was a sort of Berklee house party going on that night. And we went up to the roof, and on one side of this roof was the sort of beautiful old town lit up, so pretty. Mm. And then the other side was the Mediterranean with all the bars and clubs, but also you got the sea, it's so pretty. And then there was just me sort of having my sort of moment of being like, oh, when I would love to have someone to share this experience with me, but no. So like I wrote the song, or rather the chorus for the song, the next day, and finished it with a brilliant songwriter called Rhea Hanley. And yeah, we finished it quite quickly after that. And then for promo, I went back to Valencia about like a year and a bit later to sort of do some shots for it. And yeah, it was one of my favorite singles that I've ever written, because it was just so situational. One of my favorite that I've ever had the joy to produce. So yeah.
Mm. It's funny that, because like, I mean, you're saying this, it's very much like, I can relate to this 100%. Like when I was about 22, mm-hmm. I was out of the music scene for about, well, 2 years, basically. I'd just gotten out of a relationship, a very different situation.
Yes.
mainly because he was abusive, so it wasn't.
Ooh, okay.
And he cheated on me.
Ooh, okay.
And it was my birthday.
Ooh, okay.
So on my birthday, my housemates took me, not to Spain, unfortunately. That would have been great.
That would have been great. Yeah.
I just looked at the fireworks, because there was fireworks happening that night for some odd reason. Mm-hmm. We looked at the stars on the seafront because I was in Brighton. And the entire time you just kind of think, you can't help but not fully be in the moment and enjoying it, because you're still kind of, you feel like something's missing because your head's still in that space.
Yeah,
right?
I think your experiences out of life are determined mainly by what led you to have those experiences in the first place. Like you can't, like for example, if you're a football fan and you're going to like a big final or something like that, like you can't then go to that game without them realizing we've had so far of a journey to get here in the first place that it's not just a game. So like even when you're like watching fireworks on the seafront with friends, you can't then sort of look back and realize it's not just a singular event that I'm going to. It's something that has sort of pushed me to this place, this time, this location. And like the way that I sort of talk about songs, especially in a live context, like my favorite go-to phrase is, if you can relate to this, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm so glad you had something to sort of put it to similarly.
But. Yeah, but like it's what I was going to segue into there. It was like, it's odd that with that situation, I got back into music, because music oddly helped me.
Good.
Which we forget sometimes how therapeutic it is, I think. Mostly because like when you pursue it as a career, you start to forget that it was there in the first place to make you feel happier and to make you feel more content.
Yeah, like I mean, writing songs, I guess, is a cheaper thing to do than going to therapy.
Yeah.
But also on a serious note, it sort of acts as a conduit to things that you can't necessarily like say to friends or something like that, or say to friends like openly that you're not then willing to monetize afterwards. And it's, at least for the moment when you're in that zone writing it, it's the sort of only thing that matters, really.
Mm.
It's what you're thinking in that moment that inspires the song. But then again, it's all of the moments that led up to that. Like, I think the second verse has the lyrics, "Thinking of you for a while, seeing lovers everywhere. Am I wasting all this time picturing you in every square?" It's like, who are you picturing? Like, where? Why do you want to be there in the first place? It's all of those experiences that lead up to the creation of that lyric. And I may be thinking too far into my own lyrics, but it's nice to think about it in a series of sort of branching timelines which bring you to this to create what is ostensibly your legacy, your artwork.
And it's funny you mention lyrics in your song and how they very much like relate like deep down to you. Like, I feel like I've read this somewhere before. You've said that you're a chords first, words
I am, yeah,
next kind of guy.
I think I, yeah, the reason why I say that is because I like giving myself a framing platform in which to work in.
Mm.
Like, if I know that I'm going to be writing a sad song, then I will sort of plonk out relatively sad chords instead of sort of like plinky plonky sort of happy song, happy chords. Like, I think the best way I describe it is, like, I'm a video game nerd. Like, there's something called forced creativity, where basically you're forcing yourself to work with the limitations of, like, the hardware that you had. Like, I think the Silent Hill games. We will get back to music in a bit.
Silent Hill. No. That was my favorite. Silent Hill 2 was my favorite game as a child.
Firstly, like, incredible. But secondly, yeah, Silent Hill, like, they had loads of fog to obscure the fact that the draw distance was really, really short.
Yes,
and yeah. I think that's the way that I work with music. Like, if I'm then putting myself in a thing of, like, okay, this is a sad song, I'm going to put, like, relatively sort of sadder progressions together, then it makes me think better in that zone, and then my writing is a lot better. Whereas if I'm just sort of like looking from like a notes pad of lyrics that I think work well and then sort of force them together, then it's not really me feeling it in that moment. It's more of me putting together what I think works well. And it's a very sort of, it then becomes a very incomplete jigsaw puzzle. Whereas if you know the picture that you're going to be painting, it's a lot easier to get out the colors to paint it, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. It's oddly, yeah, I relate to that too, because when I was doing music, it was more like, well, I was more of a producer, so obviously I'm more chords first, words next kind of gal. But also it's because, like, I mean, also because I'm dyslexic, I don't words are the last thing I think about. So chords first is definitely easier. I think also it's just like, it was weirdly easier for me to portray my emotions in things that aren't words. Whether that's a part of the dyslexia, I haven't really thought about before. It could be.
I think it's very similar with people who are like synesthesic and stuff like that, where they sort of like feel different colours and feel like emotions more acutely than like other people do, and relate those to specific things. I think that's, firstly, I relate to that on the front of like chords first, lyric second, and the sort of music taking control. Maybe that's just why I'm a big fan of like video game soundtracks as well, because they also then promptly tell a story before you even look at a screen or look at a pixel.
And also, it really is there to amplify the user's emotion, because you as a gamer are not actually in the game.
No,
the music helps you feel like you are.
Yeah, like the Oblivion remake has just come out, and I love that score. I love it so much. And I've, on the train walking around London, I've been listening to the very peaceful soundtracks, and it's been making me very happy. But also, it sort of then frames how I experience the world around it. Like, if I'm listening to some hyperpop or something like that, or if I'm listening to like an EDM track, then I'll experience walking to work a lot differently than I am tavern music. And I think, like that with music as well, like if you're then framing the way that you hear things or even like experience things just generally in a different way, then you're then sort of putting yourself to focus on a different part and then sort of creating different art from that. If that makes any sort of sense.
That really does. Yeah, it really does. Anyway, I'm going to segue into you, because eventually you're going to have to perform.
So
this is Valencia, and we'll see you guys back in a couple of minutes.
had fallen in love. 'Cause I got a plane ticket just for you. To you I've been feeling so alone. And I've been trying to do it on my own. But everywhere I go with you, be home. Everywhere I go. And I wish I was invincible with you. Sun is shining, we got nothing left to prove. You turn my skies into a golden from my blue. Be the one to stay, we could get away. Find a bar with you where we could spend the night. Drink your wine and hear the breaking of the tide. I'd spend the evening with you staring at your smile. And you would hit my heart out here in Valencia. Thinking of you for a while. Seeing lovers everywhere. I'm wasting all this time. Picturing you in every square. I tell you I've been feeling so alone. I've been trying to do it on my own. But everywhere I go, with you be home. Everywhere I go, whoa, I wish I was in Valencia with you. The sun is shining, we got nothing left to prove. You turn my skies into your quarter from my blue. Be the one to stay, we could get away. Find a bar with you where we can spend the night. Drinking wine and hear the breaking of the tide. I'd spend the evening with you staring at your smile. And you would hear my heart right here in Valencia. Oh, yeah. I was in Valencia with you. Sun is shining, we got nothing left to prove. You turn my skies into your golden from my blue. And be the one to stay, we could get away. Find a bar with you where we can spend the night. Drinking wine and hear the breaking of the tide. And spend the evening with you staring at your smile. And you would hear my heart right here in Valencia.
The Alpha Sessions.
That was amazing. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I have to say okay. I'm going to say this and it's going to sound very weird, but
hit me with it.
So the artist that was here before that I interviewed, I told her that her voice sounded like Cher, and I'm going to tell you the same thing.
Hell yeah.
But you sound like the male version of Cher to me. And ooh. I'm just like, am I just hearing Cher everywhere? Is this a me problem?
Yeah. She's here, she's Cher, she's everywhere.
Cher's within us all. Like, I heard it, and I don't know, whenever you do sort of like grit and growl, I kind of hear like an essence of sort of like a Freddie Mercury kind of vibe as well.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, thank you for comparing me to Cher. That is Freddie Mercury. You know what? I will take both of those as brilliant comparisons, but like, Cher is a new one. I think... No, you've got nothing to apologize about. No, it's how people interpret art. And if you interpret it one way, that's an absolutely legitimate way to interpret it. But like, I think when you've got such like a neutral ranged voice as Cher does, then it's a lot easier to sort of put your like ideals on it. Whereas if you're then like an operatic singer or someone like that, whether you're like between like bass to soprano or sort of like castrati or someone like that, then it's a lot harder to relate. Like Cher's in that weird ground where you can also do like a male voice, but also like a relatively like low to mid
vocals.
Yeah,
I'm just so envious of it, but it's also just kind of like
very adaptable.
I think she does the thing with the open vocals, it's very much just like I'm a man's woman.
Yes,
so it's like it's got that soulfulness that it's like she really is like the divine feminine. Yeah. You know, she's kind of combined all of this in one voice. And
you know what? I am a strong independent female musician.
Yeah. You could just maybe give me the famous quote where Cher goes, "Wagon wheel were too see." I love it so much.
Incredible.
Oh my god, it's just perfect when she just comes out with like, Christina Aguilera is up there and she's like, "I want to be the next dancer at your burlesque," and she goes, "Wagon wheel were too see." It's so good. You need to include that in your set.
Firstly, incredible. Secondly, has it been a long day? Has it been a long day?
Just a little bit. Oh god, no! Because like now I'm gonna think about the fact that like your next song you're gonna perform is "I'm Broke."
I'm broke. Yeah.
Was that after a long day, by chance?
Yeah. So, like, it's not out yet. I don't think even as this was released, it's not out yet. It'll be out in September this year.
Okay.
But it's more of like a mellow sort of Midwestern Jake Minch style track. Mm-hmm. If you haven't heard of Jake Minch, he's absolutely incredible American guitarist and vocalist.
Relation to Tim?
No, sadly not. No. But wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
He's like this very sort of like, not necessarily emo, but sort of like long-haired, in my feels guitarists.
Mm.
Tim Minchin could also be that, but different nationality entirely. But yeah, so like I wrote it at the start of 2024, and like as a musician, I think like musician to musician, I think we all have those moments where we're struggling with a sense of not only identity, but sort of belonging really. And a load of other things had sort of circulated in life where like it had been 2 years since I'd finished my master's and still not in like full-time like work and doing loads of part-time things to sort of manifest a full-time career really. And so you have a lot of time in your fields and therefore a lot of time to sort of make art from that. And I think 9 times out of 10 it just comes out as you being a sort of bit whiny, but one time it's then sort of like a nice little thing which then focuses on healing and moving from that position rather than just sort of, oh, I'm feeling like this, this is sad, or woe is me, I've got nothing that I can do from here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always want the tracks that I write like that to be constructive. I mean, even the lyrics for the chorus are like, I know I'm broken, I hate it, and you hate it too. So when you decide that you leave me, I can't just blame you because I know that there's work to do. And there's sort of like that sort of turn just to be like, okay, you can clearly see there's a horizon on the end. Just work towards it, even if it's a bit of a long road.
Mm.
And even if you're suffering now, like there will be something so much better towards the end of it.
Yeah, and like also like I don't know. I feel as though like the music, any arts career actually. I'm not just gonna say music. I think like any arts career, it's kind of like weirdly turned into a gamble now.
Yes. Yeah,
but it's like you're a gambling addict.
Yeah, I mean, you're so far deep that sort of like what's it worth betting on red again and it coming up black?
Exactly.
But also, I think unlike gambling, you do have a fun time while doing it. Like even like if you're just there for doing like covers or something like that, or even if you sort of in your heart of hearts like know that the originals like you do aren't gonna like go anywhere, it's sort of nice then to know that sort of people on at least a micro scale relate to your experiences and want to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if you can make one person happy out of the people who listen to it, or you can talk to sort of one person. I mean, I can tell this story. My friend Freddie, his mum died in December 2023, a long battle with cancer. And he told me, like, when we had, like, a drink together a few days after that, he told me, my mum was so happy that you released music finally. Mm-hmm. And so happy that you were able to get tracks out there. And it's then very nice to be, however brief, then a part of someone's story and making it better. So regardless of however silly songs you may release, even if it hits one person, then it hits real hard.
Mm. I think someone told me a theory about your audience and who actually matters within it.
Mm.
Not to say that, like, if you had maybe, I think it was like the 1,000 fan.
Yeah, the 1,000 fan theory is like, if you get a solid 1,000 fans, then you're set for life sort of thing.
Ah, he told me something as like added on top of it.
Okay.
So he said, like, if you had 1,000 fans, you're like set for life.
Yep.
However, within that 1,000 fans, the original people who were there from the start, like the 1%, I think it was, they're the ones that actually, like, deep down emotionally matter.
Mm.
Those are the ones that are kind of like the fans for life, no matter what.
Yeah, they're the people who are sort of friends who have been with you for every gig and stuff like that. Mm. They're the people who you know will get tickets, not necessarily because, like, maybe they have the money to at all, but they know that, like, almost like they can see the vision. Like, they're, not to use, like, business terms, but they're, like, the early angel investors, and they know what they're getting into, and they're really happy to see you succeed. Like, and I'm so glad that, at least in my own friend group, I've got people who can do that, and I'm really happy to be in that position.
Awesome. I'm also going to just take this as an opportunity to get into our next song.
Yes.
I'm Broke. Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
I've been hoping for something to change, it could come to. And try to amaze, but the spark's gone. And where can I pray to begin? It's been 2 years of personal fixing, but still I'm not making a difference. It breaks me to know that I never fit in. 'Cause I know I'm broken, I hate it, and you hate it too. So when you decide that you leave me, I can't just blame you. 'Cause I know there's work to do. I had dreams where I would be famous and people would know who my name was, but daybreak tells me it's all on my grasp. Now I'm crying, oh, knowing what could be. The people don't see me, the present's a gift, but I'm not letting go of the past. 'Cause I know I'm broken, I hate it, and you hate it too. So when you decide that you leave me, I can't just blame you. 'Cause I know that there's work.
Alpha Sessions.
We're back, guys. Very happy to have heard I'm Broke. Am I like the are we the first people to hear it?
Yes.
Like, oh my god. That's so cool.
So what you heard was we're in mixing and mastering phase at the moment, but
okay.
We recorded that in the only day that I could get my friend Josh to record guitars for me, because he had to like fly out to Berkeley like 3 days later, and so we did basically all of the production for it in like 4 hours. So what you heard was just the guitar part, but it will be a lot bigger produced from there. Bigger produced? More produced.
Bigger
produced. But yeah, it's coming out in September, and yeah, I'm so excited.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing like the final version, although I hope you don't change much with it, because that sounded like perfect.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, your next song you're going to be performing is Till the World Ends.
Yes,
is
that's
this
one.
Like a prediction or something?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, we wrote it on a songwriting camp in Stockholm last year, and we originally wrote it for Teddy Swims, and we had Lose Control was basically like the only reference track for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just, it was the final day of the camp. We knew we were going to get sort of apocalyptically drunk afterwards.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things where it's like, let's have a fun time with this session. Instead of getting deep in our feels, let's just do a load of crazy guitar solos. We wrote the song, and we were like, okay, an apocalyptic love song. I bet no one's going to come up with that idea. 4 months afterwards, Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga.
Die with a Smile.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I heard it in the gym for the first time. I was like, this is us. There was a part of me that died inside of it there. But it was me that ended up top lining over the track, because we were going to send it off to Teddy Swims' label. But by the end of the session, we'd done one take over the vocals, and we were like, George, do you want to keep it? I was like, yeah, sure. And so that's how it ended up in my possession and not Teddy Swims's. But yeah, that's the sort of story behind the song. And the version that you're going to hear is an acoustic version that, as of this recording, we recorded last week.
That's the sort of
live acoustic recording. But like the main version is going to be a lot more like electric, have a lot more synths, a John Mayer style guitar solo halfway through.
Actually sounds like on brand, though, to be fair. You know, like, I feel like if there was an apocalypse and the world was ending, I would be expecting nothing else other than, you know, like bands, songs like Muse to be playing.
Going out with a blaze of glory.
Like, Carry On My Wayward Son, you know, like proper supernatural style apocalypse where you've got the good music.
It's the equivalent of all of the, like, emo rockers stand, like, imagine the sinking of the Titanic. But just all electric guitars. Like, it's like, gentlemen, it's been an honor to play with you.
Another Titanic, are they not?
Stop it, are they?
I think that I read this.
What is there more to say?
No, but like, not the movie, as in the actual Titanic.
Oh!
They're making a new Titanic.
Yes, Titanic 2 Electric Boogaloo, yes.
But with that, yeah, with that, maybe instead of the violin players, we should just put Youngblood on.
Or just put My Chemical
also,
Romance.
For the record, I love Youngblood, and I would actually want to marry that man someday. So maybe we don't put him on the. If we do put him on the Titanic, put him with me, so he'll have no choice but to.
Or we could just do like a public shout out to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be really cool.
But yeah, Till the World Ends.
Yep.
Okay, so you say there's like more electric guitars in it and everything.
Yes.
I have a genuine question about your music. Is there any instrument that you would never use?
I've been trying to sneak a lute in there somewhere.
A lute.
My friend James, who I've known from like we did like a youth group together. I was in that youth group for 13 years when I was younger. He keeps messaging me every time a song comes out. It's like, I really like the song. Where's the lute solo? And so
you want to do that just to
I want to appease this one Welsh guy just to be like, James, the lute is here. I would want to use as much musical instruments as I possibly can, because like I think I never want to stick to a specific genre or specific like musical brand until it's the point where like, okay, people like this a lot, because like Lizzo, concert flautist, it took her 8 EPs before she eventually settled on like the pop sort of like rap artist that she is at the moment. Like, you go through a massive amount of transformation not only as a person but as an artist as well, and I think if people want to listen to my discography afterwards, Valencia is different to 1-2 Summer Fling, which is different to Gone Without Me, which is different to What a Beautiful Monday, which will be different to I'm Broke. And like, I never want to stick myself to one specific genre, because I want then the on a very egotistical point of view, I want to maximize the amount of audience that I have. Mm. And if people like the dance song that's got 160,000 streams, that's great. They can then like me as like for that song. If they like the sort of chord changes in Valencia, great. They then like me for that stuff. And then I sort of get a wider audience range from there.
Mm.
And so, like, this period is not only sort of getting music out, but also experimenting with the sounds as well. And if people want lutes, then I will give them a medieval breakdown.
This is an official announcement. If you want the lute, I'll give it.
Yeah,
you.
I will make an entire EP just with, like, record it at Ren Fair or Medieval Fair at some point in time, but just with medieval instruments of my own songs.
If you don't experiment, you're never going to fully know who you are.
No, exactly. Mm. Like, I think the 2022 version of me that wrote Valencia is a lot different to the 2025 me that I am right now. Like, I'm in an entirely different headspace.
Yeah.
But also, I'm very happy that that song existed because it's one of the things that sort of marks progression and it marks sonic progression as well. I think in the same ways that people have, like, tattoos and stuff like that, they can then have tattoos that sort of they don't necessarily agree with or, like, fully realise now, but they did when they were at that point in time getting it, and they sort of relate to that experience and are sort of comforted with the fact that, oh, I can sort of go back to a previous version of myself and see what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think, like, music, making music, and especially releasing music, is kind of like a tattoo.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're marking a point in time. Even if you're making a completely different genre to what you were before, and saying completely different things. Like, I think Hayley Williams references before when it came to Misery Business. She wouldn't perform it live now, but obviously she's not going to, like disown the song or hate it, because it's who she was.
It's
back
a part.
Then.
It's a part of her, regardless. Yeah.
Does she agree with what she's saying in the song anymore? Of course not. She's literally just slut shaming a woman.
Yeah.
For wanting to be with a guy that she just so happens to fancy, and it's like that's just like not feminism in any way.
No, but like I also feel it's like a ship of like Phoebes sort of conversation. Really, like if like do you know the concept of the ship of Phoebes?
No, I don't.
So it's like if you take a ship and then replace every plank of it one by one. Until you've got then two ships that you can then make out of, which is the original ship.
Mm.
And I feel like that's the same with, like, artists, I think, because you're going through loads of different stages of progression that at some point in time you look back at your own work and maybe you can't relate to it, or maybe it's sort of related too much, but is it the same you? Mm. And then you've got to sort of have that conversation with yourself to be like, does it still represent me? Does it not still represent me? But also, it is a part of you that still existed or sort of still exists within you. I think Lizzie McAlpine, when she was doing the sort of promotional tour for Older, she was like, if you're just here at my concerts for Ceilings, then get out. Like, if you're just here for this one song that went viral and that made a trend, then get out. And it's absolutely her opinion to sort of have that about her, because like the song went mega viral and it's sort of the defining one. But if people just want to go for her and not embrace all of the other songs that she's got of potentially different genres, and then her new work that she has made just for other people to like, then like where does it then represent Lizzie McAlpine? In the same way that One More Time, which was my first like release as an artist, and it was a dance track, like where does it represent me? It represented me as an artist at that time. It does not represent me now.
Like, yeah,
that's a very, interesting. Very philosophical conversation.
Very philosophical for a philosophical song you're about to perform.
Yes.
So yeah. anyway, so this is till the world ends, I guess. Which yeah, we're very on brand.
Yeah.
With this philosophical conversation. So yeah, this is till the world ends. We will be back in a couple of minutes.
If we all fall apart, nothing can grow. If everyone dies, I hope we're last to go. If the temperature rises and the world goes to war, if the aliens get there and you love them more, running on empty, got nothing to prove. greeting you. So just love me, hold me in your loving arms tonight. Even though it ain't right, won't you love me, hold me till the world dies out. When the black holes appear and they swallow our soul, or the world will get clearer when I'm last to go. If the cure is a step, we'll be up on the plague. If I can go, will you just run away? Will you love me, hold me in your loving arms tonight? Even though it ain't right, won't you love me, hold me till the world dies out? Oh, won't you love me, hold me in your loving arms tonight? Even though it ain't right, won't you love me, hold me till the world dies out?
Alpha Sessions.
Oh my god, so I've enjoyed this chat so much.
Actually,
with you.
Thank you so much.
I've enjoyed the philosophical stuff. I've enjoyed just chatting about being an artist in general. I think, yeah, like, you've opened my mind, man. And like, great performances, like, genuinely. Oh, I think there's no flaw at all. I mean, there's no flaw in a lot of people that come here. I'm just gonna
they're all really good.
They're all really good. But yeah, I honestly, I just think, like first take perfection, you know.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so
much. Is there anything we can look forward to?
Yeah, so Till the World Ends, which is the song that you just heard, is coming out in mid-June. I'm super excited about mm-hmm. that. But it is coming out the day after my first ever headline show at Folklore in Hoxton. Mm-hmm. Two amazing artists who have been here before, Eliza May and Emily Fields, are going to be supporting me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an absolutely incredible night. And if this comes out before the show, tickets will be still available, I'm sure.
And you wish you were there.
Yeah, you wish. if it comes out afterwards, suck it, you missed it. But no, I'm Broke comes out in September, and mm-hmm. I've got a Christmas song coming out in November, which is nice. Going to be on a TV advert coming out later in the year.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sorry, drop mic at the end.
Yeah. This was about me.
Boom.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And we'll see you around, guys.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Bye.
The Alpha Sessions.